film sucks. Indie film sucks. It's the Indie Film Sucks podcast. Yeah.
Coming at you from the mean streets of St. Louis, from a basement on South Broadway, the Indie Film Sucks podcast. Because indie film. I'm Chris Grega.
I'm Chris Mackey. They call me Mackey.
And I'm Brock Roberts. They call me Mackey.
Welcome. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, good to be here, Chris. Right back at you, buddy.
Wow. Right back at you.
What a day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a long day.
Long day. Yeah, longer night.
Longer night. Absolutely longer night.
You guys got any socks you want to bring up?
Nope. Oh,
man.
No, man. Actually, no, I don't.
I got excited for a second.
I know. Hey, you're welcome. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, things are good. We got a direction. We're going that way. So that's what I got.
Wait. I'm real curious. What direction are we going?
So did the Donner Party.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. And I don't know. North?
So. No, you know, if I had a suck, the only suck would be we work so damn hard at trying to get this podcast going, our movie stuff going, and the sucky part is that it's taken so long to get where we really know we can be. If we just A, B, and C work out for us, I think things will be really great if the direction we're headed is north.
I don't think 25 years of struggle and toil is, that long of a time.
Nah,
to not succeed at
well,
this.
No, wait a second. So
being negative.
The problem is, you know, in normal business, not movie making business, there's pretty much a straight path. I mean, to success, you work hard, you know the game you're in, and you play it. The problem with ours is that damn goalpost keeps moving all over the damn place. We're trying to figure out how to navigate this bitch. And it keeps taking us everywhere. Not just us, other filmmakers too. And it's not 25 years of getting your ass beat. But, you know, it's not failures. I mean, there's a lot of wins in there.
I mean, you brought up a really good point. My girlfriend, she has two kids. Her daughter's at the Air Force Academy. Her son's at Gonzaga Law.
Wow, brag much?
Hey, I'm just saying. They're not my kids. They're her kids.
Okay. That makes sense.
That's why they're doing well. Okay. Anyway, point is, they're both high achievers, and they have goals, but they also have a direct path.
Right.
You know, if they do A, that leads to B, that leads to C, that leads to D. And yeah, in the case of her son, there's going to be some loans to pay back and some debt, because these people don't come from money. But, you know, they work their ass off to get where they're at. But there is a clear path. Filmmaking, right. There is no clear path.
Now, I'm not going to use that as an excuse for failure.
There's no, I'm not. Oh, you think there's a clear path?
No. I don't think there's a clear path. And okay. So in any industry, business, anything you do, school, yes, you can plan the path, but it doesn't mean there's not going to be deviations,
sure.
Corrections, things you have to do.
No, what he's saying is you know what you have to do. You do the work, you get there. Okay,
right. But my next point was going to be at what level, right? So even in community college, different level, it's a different path. Independent film, there's going to be a different path. High level Gonzaga Law, that's a different high level path. Air Force Academy, everybody knows what she's going to be doing because it's a path. So I believe you just have to make sure you understand where you're at, what level, and the path that you have. Our paths are limited as opposed to a big motion picture studio.
Sure, yeah.
Right? If he was going to some law school you never heard of before, yeah, he'll become a lawyer, but he might not be working for a big firm, right?
True. But it's still, you still know at the end of the day you're going to become a lawyer. When you make a film, you don't know what's going to happen with it ultimately.
Agree, 100%. It's all subjective, and somebody else is right.
And that's my point. I mean, yeah, there are many things that could happen. You might have to drop out of school, blah, 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 but the path remains the same. That is a clear point A to point B path. There may be personal things that give you variation, right. But the path is straight. Whereas filmmaking, it's a twisting, curving trail.
It also kicks you in the nuts.
It does a lot. There's a lot of things. But I'll push back on that just one brief moment on that. Is it depends on what you set out to do. Was your path to make the film? Because that's point A to point B. Is your path to be in distribution? That's point A to point B. Is your path to just have people see the movie? That's point A to point B.
No, that's a good point. That's different.
Right. Or is your goal to make money? Because that's way different than
that's always been the goal.
Right. So
for me,
it depends on what. So is his career path at Gonzaga Law to be the best lawyer working for the highest law firm or just to become a lawyer? Because those are different levels.
Yeah. I mean, you are correct. And you're right. If all you want to do is make a movie and that's all you care about, it's pretty easy to do.
Right. And I think that's what we need to clearly define when you say that, because in our world, our path A to B is exactly what you're talking about. It is messed up. It's messy. It's confusing. It's not fair. There's a thousand things in there in what we're trying to do as independent filmmakers, trying to get distribution, trying to get known, trying to put ourselves out there, trying to make money, trying to repay our investors. That's sloppy and messy.
Yeah, and other walks of life, not making movies. In a normal job, you know, you work real hard at what you know is a truth. Like, I work real hard at being a lawyer. I got to go to school. I got to, hell, you got to work for a law firm. Then you might have your own practice, whatever. There's a clear-cut path for success if you work hard enough and you're good at what you do. In movie making, we can make a good movie, but it still doesn't mean it's going to find a home to where it's successful in the filmmaker's eyes.
Yeah, no.
You know, so that's what I'm talking about. The goalpost keeps moving in this industry for us. The level we have, the level of money we use. I think if we had millions and millions and millions of dollars, you know, it'd probably change a few things. But
sure,
that's not our, it's not where we're at.
Yeah.
You know.
Now it reminds me, I mean, I'm probably going to screw this up. I listen to a lot of Simon Sinek, who is just somebody who talks about, like, what's your why, what's your purpose, right. What's that? And he's just somebody that a lot of people respect, and he goes talk to a lot of military people and stuff like that. But he talks about two games. One's the finite game, where you understand the players, there's a limited number, and you understand the rules. And everybody plays by the same rules. There's a clear goal and definition, right? Like football. Everybody understands football, right? You go in, you do this, 7 point, right, for the goal, and you know, you kick a field goal, it's 3 points, and there's a time frame in it.
You got four downs.
Yep, and everybody's playing by the same. And then there's the finite game, where there's many players, you may not know who they all are. There's different rules for different people. And people come and go, and that's what I look at movies at. There is no, right? In some businesses and things, you can understand, like being a lawyer, you understand, here's the rules, here's the directions, I have to take these classes, everybody plays by the same ones, and then we all go and compete, maybe in a different game to get our jobs, but we all understand the rules.
Sure.
Right? Air Force Academy, same thing. You understand the rules. You got to meet these requirements to do it. Everybody's playing by the same thing. But when you get into that other realm of games, which I believe movies is you don't know the players. Players are moving in and out all the time. The rules are changing all the time. There's no end game. It's continuous. It never stops. It always changes. It always continues. And you either have to keep up. You could get in. You can get out at any given time. And that's how I look at movies from what I think you were trying to say, you know, when you brought up the point about A to B.
Yeah.
Is we're in that other game where it's not a set A to B.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, I was bummed out the other night, and my girlfriend, she was asking me, you know, what are you down about? And I was just going about, you know, the whole film thing and where everything's at. And I said, here's the thing. I love movie making. I love filmmaking. And I said, it caused a problem in my marriage because I'd finish one movie, and then I wouldn't know how to sell the damn thing, right? And that back end part, even years ago, is so difficult and so unsatisfying, and it's just a huge bummer. So what I would do was, well, okay, this didn't work out, but I'm going to make another movie. I'm going to make a bigger movie.
Fill a big hole in your heart.
Yeah, make a better movie, and this time it's going to be different. And, you know, that wouldn't work out, so that I kept doing it over and over again, and eventually, you know, it drove my ex-wife insane, and rightfully so. It did. Yeah. I mean, not literally crazy, but it really, you know, it messed up our marriage. But the point I was telling Kelly is like, man, I love I love pre-production. I love that feeling when you're putting everything together.
Mm-hmm.
I love production. Even if you have all the problems in the world, it doesn't matter because you're making a movie and you're solving problems. And, you know, you just have to get shit done. And it's really intense. And I love post because you see the whole thing come together. And then after that, and the premiere, the first time you show it in front of, like, the hometown audience, it's a great experience. And then it all goes to shit after that. Because everything after that is... It's not, you can't quantify it. It's fucked up. It's no fun. It's miserable. And you end up not making any money. People don't see your movie. You don't pay your investors back. And all this terrible shit happens. And it's a huge drag because nobody has an answer to how to make that work. I mean, people who have a lot of money, people who are already at that level of success, they understand how that works. But the people in the trenches, the people that are in the same boat that we're in, nobody has a good answer for how do you make a profitable independent film. And maybe the answer is you don't.
Or maybe the answer is you change the game at the end.
Maybe, but I don't know. Because even that is not, that's not an easy solution.
No, it's very difficult.
Or maybe before you start the game, you understand more about the back end and what you need to do in while you're playing the game. Right,
I think a lot of filmmakers fall into this trap.
Oh, yeah.
I think most filmmakers fall into this trap because, you know, it's all about making the film, right? And every shitty fucking advice film book I've read is like punk rock, make art kind of bullshit. They don't tell you how to sell it, right? None of that. There is no definitive guidebook that's completely 100% accurate and helpful on how to sell your movie and not get screwed.
You know, it's also the same way as being an actor. I mean, I've taken acting classes, read I don't know how many acting books, how many seminars I've been to, all about the actual craft, but not about the business of it.
Yeah.
And the business of acting, as Jessica mentioned, you know, a couple podcasts ago, it's so fucking grueling.
Yeah.
And difficult, and there is no end game to it.
I agree with everything you're saying. I can't disagree because I'm in the middle of it now.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to push it, right? Because I'm good at what I do in my real job because I understand every angle, what somebody can throw at me, and I know who to go to when I don't know the answer, right? I have that structure. But I'm also surrounded by a $1 billion corporation that can protect me. We have the legal. We have this. We have all that.
You think they'd like to invest?
Exactly. No. I can guarantee they don't want to. But that's where I think we... You're on your own, and hence the name independent.
Yes.
Excuse me. Because everything's so expensive to do when you make a film. It's so damn hard to pull it all together in that. But that's what you, Brock, and I understand very well, how to do pre-production, the movie side, right? There's guys right now that aren't having this conversation because they know how to do it. Because sure. They've done it 1,000 times at their level and their budget. They're not having this conversation because they just made the next movie, had all that excitement. They know exactly where it was going. It went there, and they got the returns they probably thought they were going to get.
Yep.
So it's setting that goal and that standard of what do we want out of this? We know what we wanted, but I don't know that we positioned it the right way in order to make that happen. We thought we did. But maybe we didn't because the goalposts kept changing, the industry kept changing, it's not fair out there, but we knew it wasn't fair before we started.
I mean, part of the key, I think, is you know, and it's a tired and true thing, but networking and making connections with people.
Yeah, I was going to make that same point. I mean, some of the people I've seen that are successful, or appear to be successful anyway, they pretty much make up their investors' money back with pre-sales. They'll go to markets and they'll pre-sell their movie, and just by projections, I guess, they will sell different markets and how much money they'll make in this market. And then that market will give money to the producer, and the producer gives it back to the investors.
My question is, how did they get to that point?
That's the networking part. That's the networking part.
Because they didn't start out there.
No.
Unless you have money, unless you come from wealth and you come from privilege, you're not going to start out there.
Yeah, that's going to all the big festivals and creating friendships, like real friendships, not just no business networking, hey, whatever, not, but real true friendships. And I think that's something we lack for sure because we don't go to those great big festivals.
No, because we all have full-time jobs.
Well, that's what I was going to say is, you've been doing this for 25 years, that there wasn't, and things changed. Technology's changed a ton. The way you distribute movies has changed, right? It used to be make it, do it, give it to a distributor, and hope for the best, right? That's how it used to be. There was no Netflix and stuff like that when you first started. But I would say those are the formative years where that didn't happen, right? We didn't gradually. If a movie maker now who's 19 years old wants to get into it today, he's probably doing things way different than we did back when you were first starting.
Yeah, they have a better shot than we did starting out.
Correct.
I still don't see a lot of people understanding the business side of it.
No, the vast majority don't. But I'm saying if I could be 19 years old, well, I didn't start making movies till I was 27. But okay, if I could be 27 age, right. years old right now today, it would be, because when I started making movies, people still judged you for not shooting on film. They said, well, if you don't shoot on film, you're not a filmmaker.
I remember those days.
Right. Yeah. Mm. You know, because most, when I started, you either shot on mini DV or you shot on like 16 millimeter. And I couldn't afford 16 millimeter, so I went with mini DV. And that was like the new revolutionary thing. That's the digital revolution, which changed everything. And it really did.
Mm-hmm. Right. But you understand this is the way you needed to do it. And you had the time, the effort, the energy. All your friends would come out for every single film. You had everybody going and doing it, right?
Yeah.
That's the impact where go back and take that, put it today with what you know. And if you could have that again, I think it puts just you in a different stratosphere of how you could do it. Well, exactly. Now we're all working jobs. We got different responsibilities. I'm proud of, and I said this to you before we went on air here, is I'm proud of the fact that we do have all this going on with our lives and the jobs of where Red Knight actually is. We were able to put a movie together. We're not in a hurry to put it out. Yeah, do we want to pay our investors back? Absolutely. But it's a movie, right? So I think our movie is exactly where we want it to be. And let's put it out and see what happens and then learn from that and go from there. So it's not point A to point B. We're in between point A and point B. Yeah. But our plan hasn't changed.
No.
No, I'd say our main drive now is, you know, we sent it to distributors. We heard back from some. Nothing we heard was particularly great. Right. I know we said we're going to go line by line on the podcast, but
it's boring.
No. They're all the same.
It's all the same offer. It's not.
And it's not a knock on them at all because they're trying to make money too.
Yeah. No. It's not bad. It's not good. It just sort of is what it is.
Exactly.
And I think we're better served putting it out ourselves,
which has always been our plan. But for three guys who have day jobs, families, other responsibilities, we're doing a pretty good job of doing what we're doing for our stuff. We're trying to put ourselves, sometimes we put ourselves or we beat ourselves up because we're not as successful. Well, we're putting in the time to be where we're at. And I think that's very successful where we're at, right? If you want to be more successful, you got to put more time in.
I mean, that's true.
Since we have all put in countless hours and days and nights. Money. Yeah, even our own money and other people's money. I mean, our plan has not changed how we're going to do things, which is do the best we can to make our investors their money back.
Correct.
And then hopefully there's enough left over for us to look at starting to produce another movie.
As time goes on, though, there's going to be money because, you know, that money's gone. That money's sunk to me. It's gone. It's
no, but I think if we can find a way to position ourselves into the winning category of making movies full time, I mean, things would definitely change for us. Not just financially, but the type of movie we'd be able to make, the type of connections we'd be making. You know, that it all changes with one hopefully good movie called Red Knight. We'll see what happens.
I couldn't agree with you more. And if you look at that point A from what you said, the point B, I think we're doing exactly what we planned out to do. And I think we understand where B is. I think it's the fact of we think about it and going, man, when we were young and we had all this time and effort and energy, we wish we had that now and we don't.
Correct.
So we can't think we're that when we are what we are. And we're doing this, and we're striving, and we're pumping these things out. Now, we could do things that are smarter, and we talk about them all the time, and we have the capabilities of doing a few things that are smart, but that's just us being pulled in different directions and go, am I going to do this or am I going to do this?
Yeah.
And what happens is 3 weeks go by and you're like, damn, I should have emailed the lawyer, or I should have done this, or I should have reached out to this guy, and we just don't.
But, well, I mean, because like you said, life gets in the way.
Right. And that's what I think a lot of people don't have when they're on, if you go A to Z, they're on B and C. And I hope they utilize that time, because it gets a hell of a lot harder as you get older. It's your full-time job.
When you're a 22-year-old filmmaker and this is your passion and your drive and your dream, and you're not married, you don't have kids, you don't have real responsibilities, it's a lot easier to just get out there and make movies.
It is, but you, also at that age, you're also usually pretty naive and dumb and just want to go out and party and do shit instead of work hard. And if there are any young filmmakers out there, actors, whatever, business people, entrepreneurs, man, in your 20s, learn something besides partying, for real. I'm telling you.
I wish I would have.
Yeah, for real. Learn your craft and then apply it in your 30s and make a bunch of money in your 40s.
Right. Right, make your mistakes in your 20s with your craft. I mean, we understand where it's at, right?
Yeah.
It just sucks that it's just we're in a world with a lot of the things without the time, and right? It's not for lack of effort. It's just for lack of time.
Yeah, it just sucks that you have a good product that you can't trust someone else to take to market and be honest with you. That's the crux of the problem. If we had a widget that we were going to sell, that we had a distributor for distributing widgets, that's pretty straightforward, right? We're not, generally, you don't hear about people getting screwed that way. But the film industry, there's like no oversight. The people, they don't even have to give you real numbers. You just have to trust what you're getting is accurate.
I will agree with you
that's
there.
That's a big problem that I'd love to solve one day.
You are going to solve it, Brock. I have confidence in you, Mr.
I mean, that
Roberts.
Would be great. That would be great. But yeah, the issue right now is after you turn all your deliverables over to the filmmaker, who was your best friend, your buddy, loved everything, and then you get radio silence.
Right, and I think to their point is there's nothing to tell you because your movie's sitting out there with 1,000 other films that they have on their catalog.
But you know what? Let's say I'm a distributor and I have nothing to report to a filmmaker, and a filmmaker asks me questions. Where's my movie at?
They should say
it's nowhere.
Mm. Yes, right. Nobody's clicking on it.
I would rather hear, if I were a distributor, I would rather report to a filmmaker who's asking, "Hey, how's the movie doing?" It's not.
Push it, dude. Push it.
Or send me my quarterly or yearly report, depending on what year you're in, and have all zeros on there. Go on, I sent you your report. What else? That was what I was supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But better that than just ignoring
them. I agree with that.
Because like after the distributor has everything they want, then you know they break off all contact.
Yeah, they forget what good business practice is.
Correct. I've heard that time and time and time again. Experienced that myself with films that, you know, once we finally got all the deliverables turned in, then we didn't hear anything.
Yeah, it's like any relationship, whether it be personal or business, why does it fail? Lack of communication.
Yes, yeah. That's 100% true.
But I work business every single day, and I guarantee I know what carrots to hold back, because I know as soon as I give them that last one, I'm not going to hear from them again because they got what they wanted. Mm. And that it is. It's true in a lot of businesses. Now, it's not fair when they actually sign with you and you're a client of theirs. They should give you the reporting.
Yeah.
But it's true in all business. The smart people are, it's because they got what they wanted.
Well, yeah, we know a guy worked on the film and was begging for a copy of the DVD and begging for a copy of the poster and blah, 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 and was like, oh, can I get this? Can I get this? And then after we gave it to him, that was it. Didn't hear anything back.
Motherfucker.
You know.
All right, let's recap. What did we learn tonight?
I don't even know.
Greg's girlfriend's kids are awesome. Remarkable.
Yes.
Exactly. Air Force Academy and Gonzaga Law.
You are getting laid tonight.
Exactly. In 2 weeks.
In
2 weeks.
When Kelly hears this.
When this plays. Okay.
Yeah. Hope so we learned that. Thank you.
All right. So that's...
All right. Point A to B. Point A. They're two letters, but yet there's a direction in there. We learned the direction is north. That's where 88mm... and Red Knight's going.
Is North like up or?
It's depends. It's relative to where you're standing.
Depends where you're looking at.
Exactly.
Right.
And what else did we learn tonight, Chris? Because that's all I can think about of the recap.
Oh, we learned about the highs.
The north.
The lows.
South.
And the in-between.
That's east and west.
True independent filmmaking. The Indie Film Sucks podcast. Brought to you by 88mm Productions. On whatever social sites that it is, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, we covered it all. The whole globe.
Yeah. That's right. All right.
All right.
All right.
Amen.
Peace out.
I mean,
good night.
Good night. Indie Film Sucks. Indie Film Sucks. It's the Indie Film Sucks podcast.